Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. You hear college football music. For my money, still one of the best sports themes in history playing underneath right now. Follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. And finally, I'll tell you, right now, we're going out to the fan hotline again, my friends, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Who do we find on the other end of the hotline? A Pittsburgher. He is in L.A., though. He's on the left coast now. And as I said before, and if you missed it, he's Alex Kirshner of the Split Zone Duo podcast, along with Richard Johnson, host emeritus, Stephen Godfrey, and then Roger Sherman jumps in. These are all names. If any of my listeners, Alex, are real sickos of college football, they know all these star journalists who participate with you.
It is always a joy to be back on the airwaves in my hometown and with you, my good friend and occasional golf partner as well.
Yeah, I don't know though now. I think we're playing a dead even match. I'm down to an 8-4, so I think there's no strokes. It's just straight up if we're going to match play here.
You're lower than me. I'm closer to a 9 right now.
I'm not giving you a
but
pop.
But I've always thought that Chris Muller has an artificially high handicap, and I'm pleased that it's now getting into a more appropriate range for his true skill level.
Unbelievable.
He hits the ball.
You win one net championship, and then suddenly everyone's saying, well, it's about damn time that number went into single digits. How do you feel about being not only the proprietor, along with some of the names I just mentioned, of course, of the Split Zone Duo podcast, but sort of the person behind a quasi inside joke on the show where Pony and Donnie, who are both off today, have given me a hard time for being so up to date on college football. And Donnie grouses and says, yeah, it's that podcast you're listening to all the time that's got you all caught up on everybody right now. When I'm throwing JKS from Cal out there at them and talking about a freshman they've never heard of who's slinging it all over on the other side of the country, they just go, oh, it's the podcast again. And that's you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's us. We're thrilled to share the gospel of another Atlantic Coast Conference institution, Cal Berkeley, which obviously has a lot in common institutionally with Pitt and everybody else in the ACC.
Alex, we usually have, I think, done these conversations when I was doing a lot of CBS, now it's Infinity Sports Network, national shows, and we talk about the entire landscape, but we've got a potential big shakeup at Pitt, and I have been told this by multiple people close to the program, I would say over the last 2 hours or so, that at a bare minimum, the expectation is that freshman quarterback Mason Heinschel is going to play for Pitt tomorrow against Boston College on a noon kick on an otherwise very sleepy game, but that there is also a strong hint that's being given or a telegraph being done that he is actually going to start, which maybe more spectacularly or whatever you want to call it, means that Eli Holstein is getting sent to the bench. What do you make of all of this for Pitt right now?
Well, the last couple of weeks, Holstein has given Pitt less than the bare minimum that you need to be a competent Power Conference football team. He just hasn't really given them a chance. At the end of the West Virginia game, which was, a full 3 weeks ago now because there was a bye in there, he was basically unplayable. He had been basically unplayable for the majority of that game, which was a shame to see because of all of the progress that he seemed to make, especially in the earlier part of last year. But basically, since the middle of last season, there's just been not a lot doing from Eli Holstein. I wouldn't say that it's been Phil Jurkovec bad, but it's been pretty rough for him at quarterback. And I also think it's not all on him. I think it's on Cade Bell, the offensive coordinator, too. And so when you get a performance like you got against Louisville, which was even worse than everything that I just described, I think it's inevitable that you're going to be looking for other options. Not clear to me, what Pitt has behind him. I guess we'll see with Mason Heinschel, it sounds like. But it's been so bad that I don't know what choice they had.
It's interesting, too, because one of the other things I heard was that, and it's been alluded to, so these, how kind of some of this can go. You hear it from certain people, but I've heard it from people I trust that Pat Narduzzi was having some misgivings about this, and by that I mean playing Holstein, even as the season was not yet underway, and that he had taken notice of this freshman, and that he was considering it, and that Bell was still the guy in Eli Holstein's corner, so that adds another layer to it. And either way, it underscores to me, Alex, if this does come to pass tomorrow and Heinschel just starts, how teams like Pitt, and I know you're a Pirates fan as well, long-suffering, can't really in this era afford to get it wrong like, say, and I used, Jaden Blue from Oklahoma transferring in and getting put immediately in Brent
Venables. Jaden Ott.
Jaden Ott, Jaden Blue, yeah. I don't know why. Jaden Ott, thank you.
A lot of Jaden running backs, yeah.
Right, getting put in Brent Venables' doghouse immediately as a big, high-priced NIL deal guy. If you're Pitt and you're paying Eli Holstein near seven figures, you cannot afford, like other Blue Blood programs can, to get it wrong as it appears they have with him.
No, I see it the same way that you do. I think that there's a misperception that a school like Pitt can't compete in the house settlement or NIL era. And no doubt it's not easy. It's not easy for a lot of reasons. It's not easy in part because I don't even think Pitt can really consider, for instance, a coaching change when you got five years left on a guy's contract when things are going poorly. It obviously always helps to have money. It helps to have money in coach acquisition and in player acquisition. But there are teams in the ACC right now that are pretty interesting, despite there being no chance that they are spending anywhere near the top of the conference in roster acquisitions. There's just no way. Virginia looks very competitive in this league right now. Louisville, which you saw at Acrisure last weekend, looks very competitive in this league right now. And obviously, it would help to have Miami money or, heck, even Clemson money. It would help to have top-of-the-conference expenditures on the players that you can get on your team. Mm-hmm. But there is still room in this sport to be competitive, particularly in the maybe you reach a conference championship type game realm. And that goes away when you miss on critical evaluations.
Where does Pitt stand? This is year 11 for Pat Narduzzi. After this game, and who knows what happens with this quarterback situation moving forward, at Florida State, Syracuse, not so frisky post Steve Angeli injury, but they still, will be up for that game. Fran Brown will have the threat of sprints after the game looming over his team if they don't play well. NC State, Stanford, whatever. But then it's the murderer's row of Notre Dame, Georgia Tech, and Miami. Georgia Tech being, one of those very interesting ACC teams. Right. Yeah. Yep. Very fun to watch, too, because Haynes King just goes in there and battering rams his way through it. Where does Pitt stand now in year 11 with Pat Narduzzi? Because it feels to me, I'm wondering, your perception from afar, you're covering every team in the sport, Alex. It doesn't really feel like they've gotten anywhere substantial. There have been two lightning bolt years, the really fun Peterman offense with Matt Canada running it, and then the Kenny Pickett year. And other than that, it just feels like a lot of the same right now.
Yeah, I don't feel a lot of forward momentum. And I'm not in the building, so you know, if Pat were to come on your show and say he's not in the building, he doesn't know. That's a fair point. I'm not in the building, but it doesn't really look like there's a great deal of forward progress being made right now. I think the offense, not that I should expect the offense is ever going to get back to where it was the one supernova year in 2021 when they win the ACC, but it just hasn't gotten back anywhere close to that. Like there hasn't been kind of a new floor established. It wasn't, that wasn't the case in the Cignetti years as offensive coordinator, obviously. And regrettably, it doesn't seem like it's really happening right now under Cade Bell, who I think had a great resume when Pitt brought him in. I think has done some interesting stuff at Pitt, including most notably at the probably first 5-6 weeks of last year. But the offense doesn't look all that imaginative, which I think it has to be when you have, you know, the limited talent acquisition outlook that Pitt has. And obviously that gets harder when Desmond Reed isn't healthy or isn't entirely healthy. I do think it's worth pointing out that, you know, Narduzzi has always had a pretty high defensive floor at Pitt, pretty much without exception. And there are still great players on this defense. And I think that because of that, you know, you're able to throw Rasheem Biles out there 12 games a year. Mm-hmm. It's going to be hard for this team to ever be terrible. Like, I guess it was 2 years ago in 2023. But for the most part, I just think this is a middle lower class ACC team right now. And there are enough things that Narduzzi does well that I think a total bottoming out is hard to see, but not enough things that he does great to see another charge towards the top of the league.
Alex Kirshner of the Split Zone Duo podcast. You should check them out. Very comprehensive college football podcast. A couple more minutes with him. I do want to turn to Penn State because listening to you guys enough, Penn State's still going to be in the playoff. They're not going anywhere. They lost to Oregon in overtime. They're not, you know, it's another James Franklin home cooking against a good team special. We know all the records. But I'm asking this specific question. Right this second for them, is it a James Franklin in big games problem or a Drew Aller problem for the Nittany Lions?
Tough question. I think that would be a nice one to put a sixth grade science class through testing hypotheses at Mellon Middle School or wherever. Franklin's problems in these games severely outdate Drew Aller being his starting quarterback for the last 2.5 seasons. Mm-hmm. Aller does seem to me like a guy who just isn't quite it. Like at some point you have to have something, anything in one of these games. And I guess we got a flicker of it for the last, 10 minutes of regulation and the first overtime possession for Penn State when they mount this comeback from 2 scores down against Oregon the other night. But he really only had to make one capital T throw, which was the first touchdown ball to Devontae Ross in that entire sequence of events. Otherwise, it was kind of a mastery of play calling, game calling by Andy Kotelnicki, the offensive coordinator there. There aren't that many big-time box office quarterbacks in college football right now, and I don't think Aller is one of the few. But I think that, you know, he's only responsible for his share of 3 years of Franklin being unable to win these games that he hasn't won since 2016 when they had that upset over Ohio State that everybody remembers.
Alex, last one for you. So Sean Gentile, a fellow Terp, was on to talk hockey with me not even 45 minutes ago. And I made this pledge with him. Now, it's a little tougher for you flying across the country to do this, but I said, if your Maryland Terrapins and his Maryland Terrapins are undefeated, ready to take on Kurt Cignetti's undefeated Indiana Hoosiers on November 1st, if it is a clash of unbeatens of two traditional Big Ten powerhouses, count on your presence? I said I was going to empty out my wife's minivan, put all the car seats in my car, and we were going to drive the minivan to Bloomington and watch that game in person. Can we count on your presence there?
I would have to give it a real consideration. I know better than to promise that you're going to do something on live radio, because this gets people in trouble. They say things like, I'll eat that sock if this team loses this game. Ooh. And then you can't rethink that.
Correct.
You're going to be.
This is merely
sock.
Just being in Bloomington, Indiana on November 1st.
Yes. But as someone who greatly enjoys the state of Indiana and would love the idea of Maryland being undefeated nearly a month from now, I'd think about it.
We'll take it. Alex Kirshner, the split zone.
If Sean goes, I'm more likely to go.
Oh, yeah. He said he'll do it. I mean, like, it's going to be like a road trip. He and I are going to go with any other like-minded sickos who actually want to see undefeated Maryland play undefeated Indiana. That's kind of where our heads are at on this.
All right. That's fair. Hit my line about it.
Alex Kirshner, Split Zone Duo podcast. Make sure you check that out. Thank you so much, Alex. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Chris. Always fun.
There is a guy who knows college football back in front. If you want to know who Jaron Kiawe Sangapolatele is and why he matters in college football, you can listen to the Split Zone Duo. I'm a big fan of Alex and his entire team of co-hosts over there. They do an excellent job keeping you up on the sport in general.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.